This is the Catholic Movie Guy Podcast.
Okay, we're back here on the Catholic Movie Guy Podcast.
Hola.
Check yourself, lest you wreck yourself.
That's indeedy true.
All right, so this is very unusual. As you can hear, the Tin Man is already in situ. And nice. We're going to do a little something different today. Usually I come on and I blather for 5 minutes about what movie we're going to talk about or what movie I saw, but that's not the case.
Not today.
I did recently see two, in their own ways, interesting movies. Bleed for This. You heard of this movie?
I ain't never heard of it.
It's about a boxer named Vinny Paz, true life story.
And, oh, I did hear of that.
And Doctor Strange. And I will probably be reviewing those next week as part of the podcast, or maybe I'll just rope them into the best of the year show or whatever. But not this week. This week we were trying to come to a choice of a movie that we had both seen, and we really didn't watch any movies together recently. So I had the idea, you know what, let's just change it up a little bit. Our audience is vast now. We don't have to worry about losing anybody. So we're going to go ahead and spitball. And I thought, let's talk about what's on Netflix. You know, what have you seen on Netflix? Anything good on Netflix? Because I know our audience is mainly into the Netflix. It's hard to go to the movies, even though I love going to the movies.
Yeah, for a father of 30 children, it's very difficult to get to the theater.
Yes, or the show.
Or the show, as I call it. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
We don't go to the movies, we go to the show, because we're 100 years old.
And afterward, you stop at the drugstore for a soda. Bicarbonate?
Oh, my. Off to a disastrous start. So, what's on Netflix lately? One movie I saw on Netflix very recently, I haven't finished yet, but I can tell it's great. It's right in my wheelhouse, is Man v. Snake. Have you heard of this?
I ain't never heard of it.
It's about some guy playing some video game. He's a loser. I mean, he's not a loser now, but he was, and he, like, marathoned a game for, like, 2 days in a row to get a billion points, which had never been done. It was unheard of. Unheard of! So, you know.
It sounds fascinating.
It is. It's really good. Wow. Did you ever see King of Kong?
I ain't never seen
it. Same thing, except it's a King Kong battle between two video game lords.
I saw Son of Kong.
All right. Have you seen anything else on Netflix lately?
I have seen what they call Burn After Reading by the...
No! Me too! Are you serious?
Are you belling me for that?
I just watched it. I just finished it last night.
Yeah, I saw it on the Netflix because it's Coen Brothers, and, you know, the Catholic movie guy, so-called, has, I think, a Coen Brothers fixation.
Yes, he does.
And so does his brother.
So this is one of the few Coen Brothers movies that I had never seen before. And the reason I had never seen it, and I'm going to get this proviso out of the way at the beginning, okay? And I respect you. All of you traditional Catholics need to be forewarned. I am not recommending this movie to anybody for any reason, okay?
I would.
Let me get the proviso.
Okay.
It is what I would call it has a lot of sexual content, not depicted on the screen as, like, nudity. Is there any nudity?
No.
There might be one scene that's borderline.
I don't think so. I would call it adult situations.
Okay, but there's lots of sexual banter and situations.
Yes, and some very vulgar humor devices.
Incredibly vulgar humor devices.
Yes, there are certain members of the podcast audience that I think would not enjoy it. However.
Including our fan club president, Mark. Okay. Whom I love, Mark's View on Stuff.wordpress.
.com. I think so.
Yeah, I love Mark, and I'm sure he'll enjoy listening to this. I would not recommend that he watch this movie, and I'm not going to recommend it to anybody because of the sexual dialogue and the incredible vulgarity and profanity. There's a lot of that.
The problem is, I think that if you are the kind that can compartmentalize, the movie is well worth seeing. So I would not recommend it, but just recommend it with your...
Big caveat.
Custody of the...
I also know one of my wife's friends watched the movie, I learned today, or yesterday, I don't remember. And she quit the movie midway, and so there you go. So it's not a Catholic movie in any way. I don't want that out there. It's a comedy, and it's bawdy. Can we say that? It's bawdy.
Mm.
It's incredibly bawdy.
What do you mean by bawdy?
Bawdy. And that brings up a great segue to an article I read, I don't know how long ago it was, but I think I had you read it too, called Theology of the Body. I think it was on Crisis.com or Crisis Magazine, whatever that is.
Yep.
And it's a very lengthy article that discusses when sexual innuendo or humor is acceptable and when it isn't. And basically, if it's used to prove a larger point for adults that points to the, shall we say, the ridiculousness of certain aspects of lust, vanity, materialism, that it can be a useful device. And I think that's exactly what this movie is. It's all about the hilariousness of vanity and lust.
Right, and I think that is, I think you're 100% right on that. And it is a condemnation and a satire and a parody,
it's a farce,
all in one, of modern society way of thinking, you know, the modern man without God. Now, as you pointed out...
I want to let you finish, Taylor. But Taylor Swift, it's a Kanye joke.
Oh, got it.
Remember when he interrupted her at the... It's probably before your time, or, yeah, you know, before your... After your time.
I know about this.
So in any event, before we get into that, give us a brief plot summary. And spoiler alert, as far as there are spoilers, there's going to be... Yeah, don't listen to this if you care about spoilers, because we're not in any position...
There may be spoilers, they're unintentional, but to give a plot, you might get them. Okay, so... this movie, it has a wonderful collection of A-list stars, which is a thing for the Coens.
Especially for 2008, at the height of their powers, all right. These people.
I mean, Frances McDormand, who's an Academy Award winner, is in it, and she is not one of the A-list stars.
Not even in the top four.
John Malkovich, George Clooney, Brad Armpit,
Missouri.
Who's fantastic.
Missourian.
And Tilda Swinton, the White Witch of Narnia. I forget who else. I'm missing someone. But
she was also great in Doctor Strange, by the way.
So the thing is, okay, so it is a movie that plops you down in the middle of it, and by the end of it, I still don't know exactly what I saw, so my Jack Buck warning on the Kirk Gibson home run.
Go ahead. What's
I don't know what I just saw. That sort of thing. It's wonderful. Wonderful.
I'm hovering over the bell. My hands are twitching like I have Parkinson's.
John Malkovich works for CIA. He's an analyst. He's not particularly high up. His clearance level isn't very high. He is slated to be demoted. He, like every single other person in the movie, is very full of himself, takes it really hard, thinks he's going to write a memoir. He loses
a copy. Well, he's actually starting to write it.
Right. He's starting to write it. And then also his wife's, you know, sleeping around on him with George Clooney.
Everybody's sleeping around on everybody.
Right. So she tries to get copies of his financial information for the divorce, puts it on a disc. It gets lost at its gym. He thinks it's his memoirs. It's actually just his financial information. Hilarity ensues as Frances McDormand, who's a plastic surgery junkie, tries to sell it to the Russians for money.
She has not had any plastic surgery. She wants to get it because she feels inadequate. She works at a gym called Hard Bodies.
Right.
And
Brad Armpit.
There's a homely man who's a great actor who's like a character actor whose name escapes me. Do you know his name?
No.
You'll know him when you see him. Anyway, he has a thing for her. He's right in front of her nose, and she just looks past him because she thinks she wants, you know, she's looking for like one of these sculpted Greek gods or whatever. Right. And she wants to be that.
She wants a significant number of different surgeries, not just like a tummy tucker. She wants everything.
She wants the works.
So they don't go to the Russians initially. What they do is they realize it's some sort of, as Brad Pitt would say, spy.
Yeah.
And they try to blackmail John Malkovich's character, you know, to get it back.
To get money for the surgery.
He doesn't play ball. They try going to the Russians, who aren't that interested. Then they look at it and they realize it's complete fluff. They don't care. And so the plot becomes more convoluted because each of the characters starts to interact in the other's lives in ways they don't foresee, and in the end, it's sound and fury, and you'll have to figure out if it signifies anything.
Yeah, well, I'll just go ahead and spoil that. It doesn't. But that does. That nothingness is what it signifies.
It's wonderful.
I was surprised, because I was expecting it to just be kind of a screwball comedy, and I thought it actually did have a lot to say about humanity and our follies.
Right. It sort of presents itself as a movie that's like a spy... The soundtrack
is fantastic, and it sounds like a Tom Clancy type movie.
Or it's going to be like Mission Impossible. But in reality, it's not that important. And I think that's the great thing about it, is that all of these people think they are terribly important.
Right,
everything they do is important. In the end, it signifies jack.
Every person, you know that saying that says every happy family is happy in the same way, but every unhappy family is unhappy in its own unique way. You've never heard this before?
No.
Okay. I don't remember who said it, but it's a famous quote. It's kind of like that with the characters. They're all pathetic, but in their own way, searching for something that they deem important that isn't. And they all think they're caught up in their own way in this huge scheme, and none of them are caught up in anything.
Right. I like it because I'm a natural conspiracy theorist, and all of these people believe they're wrapped up in some conspiracy, and they're not.
Don't say that.
But in the end, they are wrapped up in a conspiracy. Boom. Roasted.
Of their own making.
Roasted.
Of no importance.
Right. It's like when the Rat Pack comes together in Metropolitan, when Sally comes together with Jane.
Bell has rung one technical. Come on, man. It's beneath you.
It's Metropolitan.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Have you seen Metropolitan?
It's not on Netflix, is it?
It could be.
No, it isn't.
Amazon?
No, it's over. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
All right.
I wanted to mention one thing that I was reading reviews as I am wont to do, and I says to myself, you know, the first thing I noticed about the movie is all these people are self-involved. The married ones are completely unfaithful to their vows. Everyone's cheating on someone or in potential or sleeping around or whatever. And there are no children in the movie at all.
Except
for
a brief scene. The Tilda Swinton character is a pediatrician.
Right, and she's the most cold-hearted, evil. Right,
the kid doesn't want to take his medicine or do something. She starts yelling at him. I mean, it was fantastic.
But what I mean is none of these even married couples has any children to pass on. They're all living for themselves and for now.
And they are completely sterile in every sense of the word.
Yeah. And, you know, in its own way, I'm sure, obviously, Llewyn Davis was after this. And since I know that Llewyn Davis was our least popular podcast, I'll go ahead and bring that one up again.
Was it really?
Yeah. Of course, no one's seen it.
It's fantastic.
So, yeah. In its own way, it kind of, that movie and this share that theme, which is these people should be passing on what's important, which is not the superficial, to the next generation. And instead they're all caught up in these, like, societal, it's like they're trying to get their own little trophies through their actions. You know what I mean? Through their conquests.
They all have a definite opinion about the other characters, and it's always negative.
Right, but there's no self-examination for any of them.
Do you remember that Seinfeld episode where each of the main characters is asked to describe, or they have to describe, you know, he's like a hipster doofus.
Of course, you know I do. She's got kind of a horse face.
Right, right. It's like that here. In some point in the movie, every one of the characters is asked or gives an opinion of one of the other characters, and it's always scathing and extremely negative.
I think what you're getting at is like the blind men with the elephant. They're all, they could all put it all together, and none of these characters interacts enough, deeply enough to do that.
And because it's the Coens, I think it is borderline masterpiece. I mean, for what it is, okay? Even this, and it's hard to talk about without spoiling it, but I had the impression of watching it every moment that I was watching something incredible, and I could not figure out for the life of me why. There are a number of scenes that really take you by surprise, and with the Coens, bad decisions have bad consequences and extreme consequences, so you can expect more of the same in this movie.
I mean, basically everyone gets theirs.
Yes. Does Tilda Swinton? Mm. I don't think so.
You know what? I'm gonna withdraw that comment. I will say that no one gets what they want. Let's put it that way.
Right.
They're all left wanting at the end of the movie. One of the things that I loved was the, I guess it's, is it the CIA? The farmer's insurance guy.
Yeah.
The guy from the Lady Killers. That's what he is. J.K. Simmons. Yeah. That dude is terrific. He's fantastic. And he basically says, toward the end of the movie, without spoiling anything, you know, what was all that? Did we learn anything? And the other CIA agent says, well, yeah, we learned not to do that again. And then he's like, yeah, that's right. But I don't know what we actually, I don't know actually what we did the first time. You know, he doesn't, it's like, and this is, I have to give a nod. This is where people get the Coens are nihilists. The Coens are nihilists.
I thought you meant Conan O'Brien.
Not Conan.
I would definitely argue that. Certain. No, he's not a nihilist.
I'm just joking.
You've seen Andy Richter.
Are we going to stay out here? Let's just stay on this. I'm sorry. I said the Coens.
In the words of my daughter, whatever.
This could be given a nihilistic reading, which is that all of humanity is meaningless, and we're all buffoons, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you agree with that reading?
No.
I don't either.
But I think this is one of the few movies they've made that you could absolutely argue it if you brought that to the table ahead of time.
Okay.
There are other movies that people argue that way, and I think, no, you're just not looking deeply enough. This one could just be a nihilist farce.
I don't think so. I think it's realistic, not realistic, but it highlights the aspects of humanity that should be ridiculed. The consequences of original sin are on display.
And in a sense, I think anything that's truly nihilistic is its own critique.
I wanted to read this. You know, I love Stephen Gradonis. You give me no end of trouble for that.
For some reason.
So I decided to look at his review. And this is great. I'm going to read the final two paragraphs. As with almost every Coen film, almost every element seems deliberate and carefully chosen. Whatever they do, it either works for the viewer or it doesn't, but they don't ever really fail exactly. For me, Burn After Reading works in fits and starts. I appreciate its idiosyncrasy and creativity. I appreciate it. I'm not sure I like it. I can see where Coen fans may adore it. Maybe the very shock value of the cruelty offers some kind of moral perspective. Or maybe it's just mean. The Coens are happy to let you make of it what you will. I think that's pretty dead on from a negative perspective.
No, but that's a fair commentary.
Yeah, I am a fan, and I'm being hesitant because I don't want to be branded as some sort of Philistine or libertine or any other teen.
Look at it this way.
There is immoral content in it, but it is so well done, and the cruelty does offer moral perspective.
If you like the Coens or if you like good art, this movie is that. It is worth seeing.
I mean, who's the Greek satirist who would be bawdy, you know?
Jimmy the Greek Snyder?
No, Sophocles, is that what I'm thinking of?
Sophocles, yeah, he did the, what is it, the clouds and whatnot.
I'm really showing my, I'm not the Catholic Greek mythology guy, I'm the Catholic movie guy. But anyway, to me it fits in that sort of a category. I can't recommend it for people, but for those who are able to not have an occasion to sin thereby, I see the merit in it, and it's definitely well done.
We've gone on about this warning on the content. I think that's a little overblown. Only a trad would need this kind of severe warning, I'm telling you. Because, look, what is the test of a good movie? I go to the movie, I watch it, I enjoy it, and I walk out, you know, glad I spent the time on it. This thing clearly checks that box. It is definitely a recommended movie.
Well, you have to also say that it's not immoral. Even if you enjoy it, if it's immoral, it doesn't matter. So that's what we're talking about.
What makes a movie immoral? There are immoral characters in it. Is the movie immoral? What is the point of the movie? The movie's not immoral.
The point of the movie isn't immoral.
Right.
But there are scenes that could be near occasion of sin for people.
Yeah. They'd have to be some bizarre people.
Really? Are you serious?
Well, I couldn't give it away.
Dude, we lived lives that were kind of dissolute for a while. I did for, you know, in my youth.
Not me, the Tin Man.
Yeah, right. So I mean, I'm not easily scandalized, but I could see certainly many people being scandalized. I think you're way off on this one.
TB.
I mean, I didn't come on, you know, I didn't start the Catholic Movie Guy podcast to talk about a movie like this for sure. But hey, here we are.
No, but it is a movie.
Boy, it's funny.
It is so funny.
Brad Pitt.
Armpit.
Is so funny.
Yeah.
Just his dancing.
No children were adopted in this movie. He was with Angelina at the time, so.
Oh my. Ooh.
Sorry. No, he's.
Sorry, I fainted.
I've seen Brad Armpit in a number of movies. I can't say that I'm a big Brad Pitt fan, but this performance.
You've told me before you don't like it.
And the performance in Snatch. I mean, the dude can act. This movie is great. Clooney is fantastic in this movie.
And Clooney's character to me is. He, as far as the movie goes, he would, I guess, be considered the most debonair, but he's also the most pathetic.
He is. He is the most childlike, least developed.
So he goes from basically dalliance to dalliance to try to satisfy whatever he's looking for. He is married, and it seems like he doesn't care at all about his wife because
he always checks back with his wife. It seems to me he always needs his wife.
And in the end, we find out, as it turns out, this is a spoiler, but it doesn't matter. That she's cheating on him.
Yeah.
It's immoral, but of course it's understandable. He's a complete adulterer. And he's devastated by it, like a child. Yeah. And he, in a poignant and hilarious scene at the same time, he destroys something that he created for her. However misguided and weird. He destroys it because he's so devastated. He is pathetic. Right.
His cheating on her with many, many people, he doesn't care because it's not happening to him. But once it happens to him, it's over.
Right. Again.
And one more thing is that Coens wrote this movie while they were writing No Country for Old Men. So it's like the polar opposite of what happens with No Country for Old Men. And they wrote every single part with the actor already in mind, except the Tilda Swinton role. She was not
cast. Right, and for that one, they just wrote Ice Queen, and it was obvious.
They wrote John Malkovich, and he acts more like John Malkovich than John Malkovich can do. And he's so awesome. He is
so great.
He is so awesome. He does the anger thing very, very well.
I have to tell you this. This is totally irrelevant, but since we run in the trad circles, one of the trad moms that runs in our circles said that like, if you're looking at men that you wouldn't think are attractive but are, that he's a very attractive man. And another mom agreed with him, and I said, are you kidding? The man's a gargoyle.
Hashtag trad mom.
I mean, he's like Tommy Lee Jones, but 15 years younger with no hair.
No, what
his face is just craggles.
Look, I don't know what he is in real life, but his movie personae he plays the intellectual. He's got the condescending thing down. Chicks dig smart dudes.
Chicks dig condescension?
Some chicks.
Do chicks dig being called chicks?
Who cares? I mean, wait, can we back that up? Let's back it up.
Beep, beep, beep.
Of course, women are wonderful. Yes. God created them. Wonderful. The best person, not God, is a woman. They're wonderful, wonderful people.
Thank you, Jiminy. So, yeah.
More than half of all people are them.
Seemingly.
Yeah.
But we now know that there are many different categories of gender, not just two.
There are only two.
Anyway, yeah, Clooney was hilarious too.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about one more thing before we get out of here, and that's the name game. Credit to Bald Move Podcast, which is a podcast I love listening to. Burn after reading. What does it mean with this movie?
I have no idea.
No idea.
No, because it has nothing to do with anything that happens in the movie. There's nothing on paper.
Well, I mean, you're reading the disc.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, I think that's the first meaning is, you know, you're supposed to, you should, it's just a spy line type thing. You know, you burn after you read it. But I think the meta meaning is that's what we're supposed to do with this movie. You burn after reading it. It was fun. It said a little something about the folly of humanity, but hey, man, it's just a spy caper, subversive, sexual farce. Burn after read it.
I second that. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, and that's what the, you know, and the Coens are saying, hey, it's not like we're saying nothing, but we're not saying too much. Let's just lighten up a little bit and watch the movies.
Right, because they were in the process of making one of their two or three greatest films.
Right, so I think they treated this movie as well as they could for what it is, and we should do the same. So, where does this fit in the pantheon of Coen movies to you?
Osborne Cox?
Where does it fit? Where does it fit for you?
I don't know. I can see this ranking, you know, top third to dead last, depending on what you feel it's the day not you
dead
watch it.
It's not dead last. No way.
It's good. The thing is, in terms of technical skill and enjoyability, it's really, really high. But at the end of it, if you think about how important a movie it is, it's not. It doesn't rank on the importance scale. It's not like it makes an overwhelming point. So
exactly. It's for what it does it as well as could be done with that kind of movie.
Skill and enjoyability, give it a 10. On seriousness level, give it a 6.
Yeah. Well, but
I give the movie overall.
Sometimes you need a movie like that
too. I give the movie overall, I give it a good 9.5. It is fantastic.
Yeah. I can't disagree. As much flack as I will probably take from this, I can't disagree. Again, Mark, don't watch it. It's not for you.
Mark, you need to watch it.
Don't watch it, Mark.
You need to have a glass of bourbon so you can block the screen.
Don't watch it. I accept no moral responsibility for anyone who watches this. What was I going to say? Have you seen Hail Caesar?
I ain't never seen
it. I think that's on Amazon. You need to watch that.
I ain't never seen
it. The George Clooney character in that and this are very similar.
It isn't on the...
Let's go back. This is part of what they call the idiot trilogy, right? For George Clooney with the Coens. You have Oh Brother, Intolerable Cruelty, and...
Just rewatched Oh Brother.
Oh Brother's better.
It is, but...
I don't think it's as funny.
There's not as much real acting in it, I think. Mm. It plays as a grand piece, and it is terrific.
I haven't seen Intolerable Cruelty either. That's the other one I've never seen. That's it. Yeah, we got to remedy that. That's a real problem. When you're dealing with the greatest filmmakers of all time, you should probably see all the
movies. That's got Michael Skarn's wife, Catherine Zeta-Skarn, in it, yes?
Skarn?
You know, doing the Skarn. You ever see The Office? The great Steve Carell Michael Scarn, FBI agent.
Everything comes
Threat
back.
Threat Level Midnight, you never
yes,
saw that?
Yes, I did.
Everything Catherine comes, Zeta Scarn.
Everything comes back to The Office for you.
No.
Sometimes it comes back to a certain other movie, perhaps?
Nope.
No other movie that you like to bring up, even when it's completely inappropriate?
No.
Wholly unnecessary and unrelated?
No.
Maybe like we're ending the podcast and you should probably talk about it? That kind of a thing?
If you're talking about a movie involving two hipster Americans lost in a foreign country, you're talking about Barcelona by the great Whit Stillman. Okay, Metropolitan.
Ejected. Denied.
Horrible.
It had to be done. Do you have any parting thoughts?
Yeah, I could probably use another drink.
We're sipping Eagle Rare. Highly recommended. Eagle Rare. Great Bingo. For the price point. I'm sure most of our listeners are bourbon aficionados or spouses of bourbon aficionados.
I want to apologize to all women for my saucy commentary.
And the use of the word chick, which is not just misogynistic. I don't know if it's that, but it's certainly outdated.
No, I like it. That's why I say groovy.
You say bae now. That's what the kids are saying. Bae.
I never said it.
You say thought? Thought?
What's
T-H-O-T?
That?
T-H-O-T?
I never heard of
you
that.
You heard of that?
No.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
All right.
In any event, this has been the Catholic Movie Guy podcast. That's what we watched on Netflix. I still recommend Man vs. Snake. I think it's great.
I ain't never heard of it.
Look up King of Kong while you're at it. I'm all about the documentaries on Netflix.
Son of Kong.
Have you seen Top Spin? That's a great one.
Is it about the great Brad Gilbert?
No, it's absolutely not. Although he was great, wasn't he?
He actually was fairly mediocre.
No, it's about ping pong players in the United States.
Really?
Their plight in the Olympic trials and whatnot.
I'm going to go ahead and say you probably should read more.
No, I'm not the Catholic book guy. I'm the Catholic movie guy.
You need to be the Catholic
book guy.
Watching ping pong.
No. You need to watch that. I was touched by some of the characters in that, and they're real people, too. It's double
bonus.
I noticed
you watched a ping pong movie. Why'd you do that?
It was good. I couldn't help it.
Kind of pathetic.
No, it was good.
All right.
Well, we're going to be back next week, and next week I believe we're going to talk about, I might talk about Doctor Strange, I might talk about Bleed for this, but I think we're going to do the best Christmas movies of all time.
Whoa.
That's going to lead to some heated arguments, and perhaps the discussion of a particular movie near and dear to the Tin Man's heart.
Yay.
Is that a Christmas movie?
It is. Metropolitan takes place at Christmas.
You've been ejected. It's over for the special interest.
You asked me a question.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, until that time and until all future times, hope you've enjoyed this. And I'm the Catholic Movie Guy. I'm out.
See you, Wayne.
If you like the music, it's called Waste Technology by Jazar. BetterWithMusic.com. Check him out. Until next time, I am the Catholic Movie Guy.